But now on BBC Radio 4, teeming with feck and frivolity, it's the News Quiz.
We present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with an item from the Seven Oaks News in Focus, read for us by Charlotte Green.
The consultant specialist is hoping to benefit hundreds of couples living in the Seven Oaks area by setting up an infidelity clinic.
Thanks to Ken and Patricia Holmes for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Linda Smith and John Sargent. Opposite them on my left, Francis Ween and John O'Farrell. Linda, why should Blair beware the Ides of March?
Tony Blair is quite unpopular at the moment with his backbenchers and with the nation in general. And I must say I'm feeling a bit smug because I think I've been in the vanguard of this trend. Frankly, I've never liked him. But with his backbenchers, he's annoyed them largely by... I think because of his terrible schoolboy crush on George W. Bush, I think. It's getting embarrassing. He's like a kid at school, isn't he? He's going, oh, what do you like? Oh, going to war. Yes, that's what I like as well. Who are you going to war with next week? Iraq, yes, so am I. It's just a total embarrassment, really, isn't it? So, and now he reaps the reward.
I think it's not surprising. You think of a typical Labour MP there in their constituency. There are no public services. They haven't seen a policeman on the beat for years. They go to London, the train's 2 hours late. Their mother's in hospital on a trolley. They go to see Tony Blair, and he says, I think what we should do is to invade Iraq.
The compromise that will be reached is that we will invade Iraq, but Stephen Byers will organise it. And the British Army will be stuck on some railway siding in Didcot.
Yes, a number of backbenchers and former ministers claim that Mr Blair's presidential style is alienating him from his own party. Someone well to the left of Mr Blair might challenge him. Ian Duncan Smith, possibly. 2 points to Linda. John, which bunch of nasties went to Harrogate and came back all nice?
Oh, yes, this is Francis Ween's lot, the Ian Duncan Smith. This is... they went to Harrogate, and he made a fantastically interesting speech, which seemed to suggest that if you'd lost a teddy bear and you were a crack cocaine addict, you should vote Conservative.
Yes, but they've always had the aristocracy's vote.
They had to silence Margaret Thatcher first, which wasn't easy. She said it was on doctor's orders, presumably spin doctors. Anyway, they managed to stop her. She's now, that's it, she's finished.
Tranquilizer darts are marvellous, aren't they?
But John, if she can't speak in public any longer without risking her life, won't people follow her around the place shouting, speech, speech?
Could she not be voiced by an actor, you know, like they used to do with the IRA in Sinn Féin? Felicity Kendall, I think, would be the best.
Or Gerry Adams, even. That would be sort of payback time.
It can't be a coincidence that the moment she's silenced, old Duncan Smith suddenly starts speaking out. He says that we mustn't be Victor Meldrew anymore. And the Tories are going to be...
He should be so lucky. People recognise Victor Meldrew.
But he didn't explain who the new role model was. I don't know, sort of Jamie Theakston or one of those people, I suppose. Actually, probably Graham Norton, I imagine, is the antidote to Victor Meldrew, because they're all caring and sharing, aren't they, the Tories now? And it's all new agey, his lovely new speech.
Bit much from a man who just said he was saddened by the news that Margaret Thatcher couldn't speak anymore. He probably danced round his office going, I'm the leader!
Well, there was a very exciting headline saying Duncan Smith accuses Blair of exploiting children, except, I thought, well, hang on a sec, Duncan Smith is now exploiting Blair's alleged exploitation of his own children. And no one's interested in Duncan Smith's children, that's the horrible truth, until now.
I didn't know he had children.
Oh, yes, he has, yeah. But his wife appeared, Betsy, he exploited her, didn't he?
I'm fascinated in Betsy Duncan Smith. There ought to be a special section in magazines called Leaders' Wives, and it could be...
Well, I'm doing my homework only because a couple of weeks ago when I did bump into Duncan Smith, he suggested that we do a sort of life swap TV programme where I would be him for a week and he would be me. I said to him, I can't really see what's in this for me. You know, you get to sit around in a shed in the garden writing books and things, and I have to go down and be humiliated in the House of Commons and then torn to shreds by people like Simon Hoggart and the papers. But I would get to live with Betsy for a week, I suppose. So that's why I'm looking into his family before I decide whether to sign the contract.
But your poor wife would have to live with him.
She wouldn't notice the difference.
The Tories relaunched themselves in Harrogate this weekend as the caring party. They want to be seen more like Mr. Softy, less like Mr. Whippy. John O'Farrell, who's putting an end to their Munker business?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
No.
Who's putting an end to their what?
You heard.
Monkey business. Monkeys. Oh, God, Monkey Bell. Yeah, that was a Johnny Vegas impression. Oh, I see.
All right, no. It wasn't.
No. Okay, no, this is the terrible, terrible news that ITV Digital is going bankrupt. What happened was that they paid hundreds of millions of pounds to screen all the nationwide football matches, and then they found out that people didn't want to watch Cheltenham versus Kidderminster. And it was incredible, and it ended up getting less viewers than BBC Four. So the whole thing's gone terribly wrong, and we're going to have all these football clubs going bankrupt, and it's a tragedy, and I'm very sad. The Football League is run by Keith Harris. I think this might be a clue. Handing over our national sport to a man who made his living putting his hand up a duck's bottom is possibly a big mistake.
Well, that's why it's called digital, isn't it?
I suppose so. So that's the answer. ITV Digital is going bankrupt and taking all our historic football clubs with it.
I think most things that ITV does are very good.
In recent months, the channel has been most famous for its monkey advertising and manky programming. The news is that the monkey itself is likely to be unpaid. It's suffering from peanuts envy. Francis, who was all loved up at the Oscars?
Well, everyone, I should think. Everyone who was there. Trouble is, I don't know how you pronounce the name of this woman. Is it...
Hallie.
Chuck Berry, or whatever she's called anyway. Has become the first black woman ever, I think, to win Best Actress. Which is very good. And everyone was very happy. The only bit of it I heard was on the Today programme the following morning. They started playing a bit of her acceptance speech, and I had to turn it off because I was cutting myself while shaving. As the tears rolled down my cheeks, they didn't stem the blood, I'm afraid, listening to this awful rubbish. But that was nothing to do with her being black. It was just that she's an Oscar winner. And actresses and actors whose sole qualification in life is they're meant to be able to deliver lines well. Always prove this is not true at the Oscar ceremony.
I think we've got a lot to learn from them. I think that, you know, every programme should thank people more, like I should thank my team leader, Linda. And I want to thank Charlotte for being here. And I want to thank Simon. I'm sorry, I can't go on. I just...
The transcript of Hail, Hallie Bop, Berry speech said that she started off with this rather moving Martin Luther King-ish thing, saying, you know, that she was accepting this on behalf of all the women of colour over the years and named some, and then said, and of course I'd like to thank my lawyer. And it then went down to millionaire Hollywood agents and lawyers.
But I think that was the whole problem with Martin Luther King's speech back in the 60s. He never thanked his agent, he never thanked his director, he never thanked his lawyer. And that's why this was the greatest step forward forever in the black rights movement.
But did you notice the way that to Halle Berry, though, she's got quite a bit in common with me? Did you notice that?
Well, her mother is from Liverpool, which means that she's not really an African American. She's a Scouser, isn't she?
Well, there's like you. There's sort of. I worked in Liverpool. If that's what you mean, yes.
around the time she was born,
we started in radio journalism together, and then in 1993, she was chosen in a magazine as one of the 50th beautiful people in the world, and that was the only point where I think our careers diverged a bit. I could have been there. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of it's luck, isn't it, Linda?
I don't think it's quite fair to blame people for thanking everyone in a speech, you know, everyone who's ever helped them, because if they dissed everyone who'd ever hindered them, you'd be there a lot longer, really, wouldn't you? You know, if you sat here and said, yes, a Mr. Frobisher maths teacher who said I'd never amount to anything. Oscar, in your face! So fair dues, really.
So Mr. Frobisher was your teacher?
Possibly.
In her speech, Halle Berry also said that maybe we will be judged on our merit and not on our skin, which is terrible news for Hollywood's plastic surgeons. We start round two with a cutting from the Sheffield Star.
A prostitute who made her neighbour's life a misery faces eviction from her Sheffield council home. The court heard she disturbed her neighbours by playing loud music at all hours, as well as constant arguing, shouting and banging.
To David Barry for sending that in. Linda, who struck a blow this week for publicity, Seekers Anonymous?
Oh, Naomi Campbell, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She's either won or she's lost. The Mirror says she's lost. The judge, who you sort of feel should know, seems to think she's won. But she's only won about 3,000 quid, so we'll never know, because she won't get out of bed for that. So, well, I don't even understand what the whole thing's about. Well, they took photos of her. Apparently, worn out by a lifetime of wearing clothes and walking. Under the relentless grinding pressure of that, as opposed to, say, being a nurse or something, she succumbed to drug addiction. And because, no, honestly, it's terrible. Every day, what shall I wear? What shall I wear? Oh, you know, a nightmare. If you're a nurse, you've got a uniform. It's suited for you. But apparently the Mirror took a photo of her going into a drug addiction clinic, and that was wrong, but not that wrong. Only £3,000 wrong.
I'm on her side. I mean, it's obviously quite understandable. She feels...
Oh, you models stick together, don't you?
Naomi Campbell is famously reported to have said that she would refuse to get out of bed for less than £10,000, and us Newsco's regulars know just how she feels. Apparently, it's impossible to fold Naomi Campbell more than 8 times. Two points to Linda. John O'Farrell, listen to this. John, why are teachers saying wham, bam? Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, Estelle Morris has warned that parents will get the rap for badly behaved, unruly pupils. So if a teenager behaves irresponsibly, the parents are going to be dragged in and punished. And she's already had one parent into her office, and she said, I want to know why your son was lying around drunk in Leicester Square.
She kept calling them feckless parents, and it actually sent me to the dictionary, because I suddenly realised that I've never quite grasped this word feckless. I all sort of vaguely thought it meant bad, but I didn't know how bad. Because, you know, hopeless, you know, means without hope, and lifeless is without life. But what is without feck? And I looked it up, and it's
sounds like a Father Ted sketch, doesn't it?
Yeah. I looked it up in Chambers, and it's a Scottish word, and it means effectiveness. You can have a watchdog called Feck Off. And...
Off feck.
It doesn't work so well, does it? We have a feck czar. I think there are better ways to punish children. I think the parents should turn up at their school gates and pick them up wearing purple flares and tank tops. That would really make them think again.
And bring their nan wearing bright red lipstick to give them a big kiss.
Meanwhile, the Scottish executive has proposed to stop parents smacking children under 3 years old, though they will still be allowed to deep fry them. Linda, why have Britain's rural retreats gone up in smoke?
Rural retreats? Gone up in smoke? Aha, up in smoke, foot and mouth, bed and breakfasts.
Yes.
Bed and breakfasts, there are less of them as a result of the foot and mouth crisis, because people don't really fancy going on holiday next to a pile of steaming carcasses, which is a shame, obviously, for people running them. It's unemployment, it's not good. I've always feel a bit ambiguous about bed and breakfast, because I like walking, you know, the only place you stay are these bed and breakfasts in the countryside, and they're often really nice, but incredibly chintzy. Everything is just chintz in the room. There's little covers, you can't find anything, because everything's got a cover. You've got tea bags, you're lifting up covers to find where they are. And this particular one I stayed at had loads of furry toys the woman had put, I don't know why, to make us feel we were being watched in the night. Arranged all around the room, and my friend got so upset by it that he took one of them, which was this knitted clown, hung it from a beam, and left a chair knocked over underneath. So we won't be be welcome there again.
The latest Good Bed and Breakfast Guide reveals that as many as a fifth of the UK's B&Bs have closed because of the foot and mouth crisis. The rural tourist industry has suffered as the public turn against traditional countryside pursuits, such as drunken brawling, staring at strangers in pubs, and marrying your sister. Two-point cylinder. John Sargent, listen to this.
When I say I love you, you say you better.
You better, you better, you better.
When I say I need you, you say you better.
The Who.
I'd just say John was playing air guitar throughout the whole of that.
Who is taking a gamble on casinos?
Well, yes, Linda just whispered gambling to me, and I know all about that, because I spend most autumns going to Blackpool. We saw quite a lot of it up there, but they were only gambling with the future of the nation. Strange idea, the idea that we're not gambling enough. Have you noticed that? I mean, that's what's behind all this. We have the lottery, we have on-course betting, off-course betting, football pools, spot the ball, but we're not doing well enough, are we? And
obviously.
So I think the government's right to step in and just say, please, please, we must try and get the gambling up to benchmarks. You know, we've just all got to try a bit harder. I mean, it's just not good enough. The millions and millions going into the national lottery, frankly, it's not enough. That's not the world that we want to live in. We want to live in a more luck-oriented, youth-engaged world.
And with this in mind, they're opening casinos in Eastbourne.
Yes. I tell you what I really do think, though. I think the worst thing about the whole thing is when they say, of course, what's going to be good about this is that more money will be available to treat gambling addicts.
They actually said that Blackpool will become the new Las Vegas, which is a rather wonderful image, the idea of all these hardened gamblers coming across from Nevada. Suddenly they're going to Blackpool to try their luck at bingo. This is fantastic. Guns on the table and eyes down for a full house. Clickety-click.
Yeah, I'd love to see Elvis Presley singing, you know, Viva Fleetwood. Can't really see people risking fortunes on one of those cranes that pick up a cuddly toy.
The ITV digital monkey going, pick me, pick me.
Contrary to popular belief, the majority of gamblers are not the super rich, but are the super desperate, sucked into a lifestyle which strips them of money, hope and dignity. Or celebrity who wants to be a millionaire, as we call it. Francis, whose attempt to make a student grant led to accusations of cashing in?
Blimey. The only student authorised door this week was Prince William. John knows it. He's just coming to the rescue.
Hugh Grant. Appearing in About a Boy and giving lots of interviews.
Not even close.
Okay. Britney Spears.
They know the answer.
Do they? Oh, good.
John,
let's hear it.
Linda.
Team captain will tell us what the answer is.
It's Oxford, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, that.
It's the cash for places. They've got totally the wrong idea about student loans, haven't they? They think it means... Just got the wrong end of the stick. Thinks the students give them 300 grand and then they get a place. That's how it goes. And so I myself was absolutely shocked to the core of my being to find that money bought you a place at Oxford.
I was just very shocked at the price of it, £300,000. In the old days, a couple of O-levels and a good case of claret would do the trick.
Well, I was also rather sorry for those poor two people, the admissions tutors, who had to resign the next day. One of them, a vicar. They weren't asking for the money for themselves. They just wanted it for their allegedly impoverished college.
A vicar? Is this vicar played by Terry Thomas?
No.
Sounds like some sort of Ealing comedy. I say, 300 grand. Rather.
This is the Murdoch Press, which is 100% in favour of applying market forces to everything in life, rather like Mr. Blair. And then when someone does this, they get exposed all over the very same newspaper for appalling corruption and have to resign.
Now, what they said at this interview was that we can't promise that your son will get in, but we will look at his application in a very, very, very friendly way. Each very was 100,000, I reckon.
Yes, in the latest cash for influence scandal, this time at Pembroke College, Oxford, two fellows told a reporter posing as a businessman that a significant donation to the college might well secure a place for his son to read law. Mr. Platt, who is the college chaplain, told the reporter, and this is a direct quote, Pembroke was as poor as shite. Not clear which part of the Bible he was quoting from, but it may have been St. Paul's letter to the Glaswegians. Before we start the final round, here's a headline from the December issue of the Isle of Wight County Press.
Woman found in Germany.
Thanks to Ben Odom of Rochester for that. Linda, who's bringing about the end of the world? And this is not a question about George W. Bush.
No, it's a question about the BBC, who are going to be replacing the Globe logo that we've known for years, BBC Globe, spinning globe logo.
Balloon, too.
And also balloon, but it's sort of a globe balloon, really, isn't it? So it's a carping criticism, John, if I may say so. So a globe in various forms has been the logo, and now they want to replace it with something more multicultural than the globe. Namely, some people dancing in a sort of Morris dancing-y way, in some different sort of national costumes, I suppose, I don't know, but seems a poor idea here. Would just say one word, consignia. I don't think it's a great idea, and it's obviously not my business to tell Greg Dyke what to do, but I think if he was looking for savings, not a good idea. I don't know, what do you think?
I think it's a sloppy idea. What's good about it is, would it get rid of those irritating little things they have on BBC Two that tear across the carpet and then they...
Oh, that's a real one.
Blimey, John.
I'm the only person who doesn't find them fabzy and lovely.
Suddenly, John, you're just 7 points above Ian Duncan Smith now.
I'm finished now.
Now he works for ITV. Shouldn't... He has to say things like that, and I hope we're getting a Christmas bonus. it's sort of a hip-hop dancing and haka, that's Maori war dance that rugby players do, and something called Brazilian self-defence, whatever that may be, which apparently is less likely to go out of fashion than the globe, which has only been around for about 5 billion years or so, isn't it?
I think the idea is that it should be more inclusive. I mean, I find all those things, I don't know about you, but I just thrill to them. Mm. I want to be part of it.
Yeah. Well, as Linda says, I mean, the globe is probably white and southern and middle class, is it?
I think they should bring back the old test card with that girl playing noughts and crosses with a clown. I like that. 20 years she took to make that bloody move. She's sitting there 20 years, put a cross or a nought, just take a move with the clown going, turn off that light classical music, it's driving me mad.
That's why the clown ended up hanging himself in a bed and breakfast.
You can still see it on UK Gold, actually. They had a whole evening of it the other night.
People liked the fact it was in colour, you see. For a lot of people, that was exciting. Particularly if they had a black and white set.
Well, even if you had a black and white set, you could have coloured it in the time it was up there.
Exactly.
BBC One wants people to think of it as an inclusive channel. Controller Lorraine Heggersy said, rhythm and movement are common to everyone. She obviously never watched Phil Mitchell in EastEnders. John O'Farrell, why may male fish have had their chips?
Ah, yes, I read this story. This was a story that claimed that one in three fish in British waters is changing sex. They claim that lots of chemicals in the water are making the fish change sex. It's not that at all. It's just these male fish, they feel they were born into the wrong body. They're flying to Rio, they're having the op, and they're telling their friends they want to be known as Gladys.
I don't know why we aren't panicking about this story, you know. I mean, I thought it was quite disturbing, didn't you?
Hmm.
I mean, a third of the fish have changed their sex. You thought they were boy fish, now they're girl fish, and that's it. And we're all meant to be calm. I don't see why we should be calm about this. I think we're calm about far too many things now, particularly with regard to sex. Have you noticed that? Well, what do you think, Linda? You're a girl. What do you think about this? Let's get it from the woman's point of view.
Well, John, you know, it doesn't bother me that much that a third more fish spend ages getting ready to go out. And suddenly see... And have completely forgotten how the offside rule works. What's the problem? And also, breast of haddock is a lovely dish. But they're turning into girls because of the contraceptive pill, you think, well, why are they taking it? Why, you know, what is it, some kind of bet? You've had a drink of water, I've had a drink of water, let's have some contraceptive pills, hey!
I think they're moving much faster than we realise.
Fish today, honestly. What do you mean they're moving much faster?
According to the Environment Agency, female hormones from the contraceptive pill are causing male fish to exhibit female characteristics. Now, all a chap has to do to get in touch with his feminine side is to pop out to the chippy for a cod supper. Francis, why is Kit Art the new Brit Art?
Oh, this is a charming story about Tracy Emin, the great artist. She lost her cat, who I think is called Docket. And so she went round putting little notices on all the lampposts and things saying, have you seen my cat, with a little photo of it, and saying, please ring Tracy Emin on this number. And understandably, given that this is someone who flogs off her knickers and old bed linen and stuff for vast sums, all the hip young artists in Hoxton assumed that this was her latest conceptual work and started ripping down the posters because they were told they were worth £1,000 a time. And she got rather annoyed, and her agent had to put out a statement saying, no, 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 this is not a work of art, this is just a notice saying, please can the neighbours help me find my cat. But it had a happy ending. Even though all the notices were taken down and going to be sold at Sotheby's, little Docket came back anyway. And I think he's probably now getting into this racket. He's going to be exhibiting his unmade litter tray at Turner Prize next year.
Actually, I'd like to make it perfectly clear, wasn't such a happy ending. Docket was found, yes, but he was found by Damien Hirst. Nasty business.
She was famous for the unmade bed, wasn't she?
Yes. Mm.
Probably ties in with the cat somewhere. The cat just left after that, I think. I mean, you've got to find out, why did the cat leave? I mean, that's what we're not getting at, are we? We've got no explanation for that. The cat wanders off, why? That's what we should work on instead of wasting our time on, you know, was it worth 500 or 1,000?
Or speculating why the entire audience has left. Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. And I have a problem here because I can either say Linda and John Sargent, which makes you sound like an old married couple. Or I could say
John Sargent
and
lovely
Linda,
couple.
Which sounds like a knife-throwing act, doesn't it?
Just say Linda and John.
We don't mind, as long as we've won, we don't mind.
Francis and John O'Farrell, with him. No, that doesn't work either. Does it? Hello. Francis Ween and John O'Farrell have 15 points, but Linda Smith and John Sargent are this week's winners with 18 points. And before we leave you, here's an extract from an article in The Times, sent in by Michael Young.
Kate, a medical secretary, and David, a doctor, have been married 30 years and have a daughter of 23. 3 years ago, David decided he didn't want sex anymore. They now live in Hertfordshire.
That's goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Linda Smith, Francis Ween, John O'Farrell and John Sargent. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by George Poles, Simon Littlefield, Dave Cohen and Paul McKenzie. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.
And the teams are back next Friday, same time.